Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back to the Blitz Podcast. I'm sure Harley's probably like me, very tired after having a few days off for the Christmas holiday. Not sure why. Didn't have any turkey, but there were some turkey of some performances this weekend, probably. Harley, what about you?
Yeah, it was a long weekend. My wife and I went down to Dubuque to see her family, and obviously, sitting in a car for 5 hours each way makes a person a little bit sleepy. Had to be up and work early this morning. So with that, I'm a little bit tired. I'm still kind of getting my druthers to me for the day, but got myself an energy drink. I've got myself a basketball game going on in the background, and I think I'm ready to go as I start to get myself going here for what is slated to be week 17 of the NFL season, and it is championship week for many, many a fantasy player.
That it is. Before we go any further, I have to ask, what country is Dubuque in?
Country?
Yes. Yes, I was being funny. Hey, so the trip for us to see my family, it's about 5 hours also, so I know exactly what you mean. But yeah, it is championship week. I'll let you tell the listeners what you have in just a second. But myself, I was in three semis this weekend. I hate to say that I lost in one of the semis to a guy that had Josh Jacobs in his starting lineup.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, but I also had some guys on IR that were out and didn't, you know. And it was close to where if I'd have made perfect decision on who to start, which would have required me starting Tyler Algier, which I would not have done over who I had in my lineup. And I think DJ Chark. Why would I have DJ Chark in my lineup? You know what I mean? Then I would be playing in the finals. But in the other two semis, I did win. One of them I was the number one seed. This one I was not the number one seed that I lost. So I'm in the finals in the two that I was the number one seed, and they are expert leagues. I was in, I think it was five or six huddle expert leagues, different settings and formats, 10-team, 12-team, auction, IDP, blah, 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 right? So I'm pretty happy to be playing for two championships against a bunch of, you know, experts from the industry. What about you?
Well, I made it into two semifinals this year, and both of those semifinals are, I'm proud to say, I'm advancing to the championship in. One of them was a thrown together league immediately following the Scott Fishbowl draft, where it was basically 10 of the 12 teams that were in our Scott Fishbowl live draft, plus a couple of friends of another team, because a couple of the other teams that were in the draft weren't able to attend this particular league draft. That one, I was the third seed going in, and I knocked off the number two seed this week to make it into the finals against, ironically, the sixth seed made his way all the way up to the first seed. So I'll be facing the sixth seed as a highly favored team this coming week.
Awesome. Well, congrats on both of those.
Yep. And just for fun, I went ahead and looked at my Scott Fishbowl team, which was knocked out last week during the quarterfinals.
Yep.
I would have actually come very close to making the final 50 this week based on my performance. I would have finished at 61st this week, which obviously would not have made the finals, but it would have felt pretty darn good to finish that close if I had gotten past last week's lack of performances from Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, in addition to the early game injuries to Zach Moss and Michael Pittman Jr.
Michael Pittman Jr. is what I think one of the things that bit me in that league that I did not win, because he would have clearly been starting. I think I started Wandell Robinson because of that. So that's definitely a huge point when you lose by less than 10 points. But yeah, it happens, right? You've had two solid years in a row, Scott Fishbowl. Myself, last year, a good year. This year, injuries derailed my team quite a bit. A couple bad picks. You don't get much room for error in a league like that. And listen – you know, that's just what happens in fantasy. There's a lot of luck involved, and there's a lot of skill involved, and there's a lot of process involved, and sometimes process over results, they say. You know what else I say? I say, I'm not doing anything else without sending it over to Harley for this week's Blitzed Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Tommy DeVito was benched Monday against the Philadelphia Eagles. At this time, the BPN News team can neither confirm nor deny the circulating rumor on social media that Brian Daboll found a severed horse's head in his bed early Tuesday morning. The Raiders upset the Kansas City Chiefs last week despite quarterback Aiden O'Connell not completing a single pass after the first quarter. In his defense, at least he managed to accomplish -4 rushing yards to improve his final line to 58 total yards. Yeah, never mind. Trevor Lawrence was injured yet again on Sunday as he suffered a sprained shoulder. This comes on the heels of him suffering a high ankle sprain, a different shoulder injury, and a concussion over the last few weeks. With all of these injuries piling up, the preseason comps of him and Anthony Richardson were right on the money. Monday night, Lamar Jackson was called for intentional grounding and a safety after he was tackled in the end zone by the referee. After doing tireless online research, we have found that this ref is in fact the first person to ever successfully get credit with an unassisted tackle of Jackson. And finally, Robbie Chosen suffered a concussion Sunday versus the Cowboys. When he first reported to the unaffiliated athletic consultant on the sideline, the doctors asked him what his name was, and even he couldn't remember. This has been your BPN News update.
You know, I had Chosen on one of my dynasty teams, and early in the season, I was like, who the – what is – it took me for – first of all, he wasn't on the same team. He changed teams, right? He was a free agent at one point. Then I was just like, who is this guy? Like, that was – yeah, whatever.
I think we learned our lesson with Chad Ochocinco. When a player starts contemplating changing their name, it's probably a good idea to go ahead and you can probably drop them from your dynasty roster.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Yes, there is. So we didn't tease it yet, but tonight what we're going to talk about, we have our two segments. We're going to have our trusty old DFS pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays for everybody because we know that there's a lot of degenerates out there that like that. But that's okay, right? Nobody's judging you here. This is a judge-free zone. The other thing we are going to do, since we're recording on Tuesday, December 26th, we're not recording with a
Boxing
football
day.
Game. Boxing Day, there you go. Also known as the day after Christmas in the U.S. And there's no games for us to be talking about while they're going on in the background. We decided to take a little extra day for ourselves and our families. So we're recording after the entire week 16 slate has been completed. Christmas is gone, and we're working towards Christmas of next year. But what Harley and I are going to do is we are going to give each NFL team belated Christmas gifts. Harley's going to do the AFC. And by the way, I hope Cleveland's gift is good because my wife's over my shoulder listening to the episode get recorded right now. And then I'm doing the NFC. So what do you say? Let's get right into it. Which division do you want to start with, Harley? I'll let you start.
Let's start out with the AFC North.
Okay.
And we're going to go ahead and choose a team that obviously your wife has some probably some acrimony to if she is indeed a Cleveland Browns fan, and that's the Baltimore Ravens.
Not as much acrimony now, as she does the Steelers, but go ahead.
Okay. One thing that the Baltimore Ravens really, really could use this season, and let me preface this by saying that in a era where the Kansas State Chiefs have been the dominant force in the AFC now for a few years in a row, this is a single season here where Baltimore may have a legit chance as emerging as the they'll likely be the number one seed, but there's a good chance that they may emerge for the AFC Championship game this year, as Cleveland will as Kansas City at some point will have to go on the road to face them in the playoffs. So I'm gifting the Ravens with one thing that they would love to get back as they make their push towards the Super Bowl this year, and that's a return to health before the end of the playoffs for Mark Andrews.
Okay. What else you got? Why don't you just run down your whole division, and I'll run down my NFC North. How's that?
Okay. For the Cleveland Browns, I think that there's something really important here. We've witnessed a resurgence by Joe Flacco. So to ensure that Joe Flacco can remain the quarterback of the future for the Cleveland Browns, I'm gifting them another team somewhere in the league willing to eat Deshaun Watson's contract.
She would actually be on board with that, I think. She'd rather you gifted them a Super Bowl appearance, but she'll take that, I think. Another team taking on Deshaun Watson's contract, not bad.
Yeah, and Joe Flacco is the quarterback of the future. Imagine where he could lead this team.
Joe Flacco, quarterback of the future. Elite 38-year-old.
Speaking of quarterbacks coming back to help someone, I'm going to give a Christmas present to the Cincinnati Bengals, which is a healthy Joe Burrow returning to start next season, and that the team can somehow or another convince healthy Joe Burrow to take a pay cut so they can afford to keep T. Higgins in the orange and black.
Okay. And the filthy Steelers are last.
For your Steelers hopefuls out there, I just have four words. Lead back Jalen Warren.
Lead back Jalen Warren. Okay. All right. She would have rather you given the gift of being in the basement, but that's okay. I'm going to go over and we'll work our way up in the NFC North. I'm going to start with the Minnesota Vikings. And prior to the games happening this week, I had a different gift I would have thought about giving them. But now it is a healthy TJ Hockenson to start next year.
I'm much appreciated there as a Vikings fan. MCL and ACL tears, so it's going to be a long, lengthy recovery. Obviously, yep. In this day and age, neither of those things is a career-threatening injury as it would have been when you and I were both young. But, again, here's hoping he's back. He probably won't be back for training camp, but hopefully he's back by the third or fourth week of the preseason.
Yep.
Hopefully good to go for game one in September.
Yep. I had a hard time for what to give Chicago because it seems like they need so much. But the one thing they don't need now, it seems like, is defense. So I'm going to just give Justin Fields one more step forward. Everybody thought he was taking that leap this year because they got him DJ Moore. He did not take the Jalen Hurts leap. But let's give him one more year. Let's not have Chicago draft a quarterback this year in the draft. Give him one more year and see what we can do.
I think the perfect gift for him in that coming draft is one Marvin Harrison Jr.
Except I think they've played their way out of him, possibly. But who knows? Maybe they'll be four.
Well, they still have the Carolina pick, which is probably going to be first overall.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about – oh, yeah. Maybe I didn't forget about it. Okay. Don't ruin my stuff for later. The Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers, I gift unto you a first-round quarterback in this year's upcoming draft. Oh, wait. You've done that before. No. How about we give you a first-round wide receiver instead?
That will be a first for them.
It will. And then, lastly, the Detroit Lions. My belated Christmas gift to them is a division title. Oh, wait, they already won the division title. There's no way any of them believe that. So I'm going to give it to them again. How's that?
Yeah, it's amazing that they managed to win this game this past week. They did not look very good. They haven't actually looked very good in about a month now. So they're still picking up wins, though, and that's all that matters.
That is it. Nobody asked what it looked like. They just look at the column, right? So there you go. That's my gifts, my belated gifts for the NFC North. Let's go over to the AFC South. What do you have going on there?
Okay, well, we're going to start out down in Jacksonville, where their owner is very, very rich. But the team has some financial issues, so I'm going to hire a new accountant for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
For the Indianapolis Colts, they got their quarterback of the future in this past year's draft, but that quarterback has not been able to stay healthy, so My gift to the Colts is allowing Anthony Richardson to complete at least one game next season.
Just one?
At least.
Home game?
Possibly.
Okay. All right, next.
On the issue of health, for the Houston Texans, who took a huge step forward this season, thanks to multiple draft picks they had this year in the Deshaun Watson trade, we need to see a fully healthy C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell working again together next season. And again, getting Dell back is going to be huge for this team, as this team is poised to be the, I would say, one of the featured teams in this division. I think this whole division is going to be much improved next season if those young quarterbacks can get healthy.
Yeah, very much so. From one of the weaker divisions to one of the stronger.
And last but not least, because as far as I'm aware, no one's done it yet. How is there not a marketing partnership deal in place between Will Levis and Duke's Mayonnaise?
I don't have a cricket sound to play. Okay. All right. So now I guess I'm going to go over here to the NFC South.
One of the worst divisions in football.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to give the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a home playoff game, which means they win their division.
As a division winner, I think that's certainly going to happen. And I think I read today that Baker Mayfield got a little Christmas present in an agreement on a contract for next season.
There you go. I don't think that's a bad thing. The New Orleans Saints. They've been inconsistent the past few years, haven't they?
Yeah.
Since Drew Brees is gone, been inconsistent. I'm actually giving them a new regime change. I think they need it. Start there. I almost gave them a new quarterback, but I think that they probably won't do that yet. So I'm going to give them a new regime change. And that gives them a reason to make the quarterback change. And then there's only nowhere to go but up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to Atlanta. And I'm also going to give them a new coach, not named Arthur Smith.
I think that's all anyone can ask for. I mean, it would be a Christmas miracle if somehow or another we could get that taken care of before the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they still need a quarterback, okay, no matter what happens. But they've got Drake London. They have Kyle Pitts. They have Bijan Robinson. Their defense is not horrible by any stretch of the imagination. They've got some playmakers. They need a coach. I'm sorry. They just need a coach. So Home Depot, in my mind, you're second to Lowe's. If you don't want your Atlanta Falcons to be second to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or anybody else in that division, do yourself a favor and part ways with Mr. Smith in the new year. Last, the Carolina Panthers. I gift unto the Carolina Panthers the first overall draft pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Oh, wait a minute. You said they don't have their draft pick. Instead, I give them the gift of hindsight.
Yeah, talk about a team being set back heavily. I mean, it's scary to think that, I mean, all of the hype over the last couple of seasons during the college years about Bryce Young. And I think, I mean, going into this past season, there was some, well, who's the better prospect, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson. But again, all of the marketing campaigns, everything was all about Bryce Young. And of course, one of the big things that Bryce Young was featured in was the Dr. Pepper Townsville commercial series. I think it's very, very comical right now. I just saw for the first time today a Dr. Pepper Townsville series commercial starring Caleb Williams, who coming into the season was kind of the consensus number one overall quarterback for next season, where he's doing all these things that would suggest that there's a curse associated with Townsville.
I was going to say,
like having
his
picture on the front of a video game, walking under ladders, having a black cat, getting his picture on a magazine cover.
So
I'm thinking to myself, it's like, well, are we looking at the same thing again with Caleb there, whoever he ends up with?
So you're saying that there's a Dr. Pepper Townsville curse now?
They're making fun of it, I think, in this commercial, because they're realizing that Bryce Young was a failure.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, anything can happen.
I think you could argue too that Caleb Williams has had a sizable drop off from the number one game changing quarterback preference that he was going to be prior to this year's draft.
Yep, I'll say this: coaching matters, and the chemistry and the team and all that kind of stuff, that all matters. So depending on where he goes, we could still see him be the guy that should have gone number one that people will say in hindsight. Then again, he could wind up in an organization that they just completely flounder and waste him. We'll see. But we got gifts to give, or you have gifts to give, in the AFC North. I'm sorry, AFC South. AFC West. Goodness.
Well, we're going over to the AFC West now, which is home to my Kansas City Chiefs. And I think that there's one thing clearly missing with the Kansas City Chiefs right now. In addition to Travis finding a ring for Taylor, which will be interesting to see, because, I mean, what type of ring can he possibly buy for her that's going to impress upon her? I mean, she can go out and buy pretty much anything she wants. She can go and buy the Hope Diamond if she wants. But that's neither here nor there. Kansas City Chiefs need a second wide receiver that can catch a football. So I'm gifting them a chance to spend some money this offseason on a wide receiver that can catch a football. And you know what? If Chris Jones doesn't want to take a pay cut, goodbye. For our arch rival, the Denver Broncos, I didn't really know what to give the Denver Broncos because, well, they need a whole lot of everything, I feel like. They've had a series of so-so draft picks and whatnot over the last couple of years. But I feel like the thing that's going to be the key for them, since they've got such a huge, just incredibly bloated contract hanging over them for Russell Wilson, I'm going to gift them the Fountain of Youth for Russell Wilson, because he's got a good coach there. And if he can revert back to his younger days, it might provide a challenge for the Chiefs down the line.
Okay.
Over in Los Angeles, the Chargers have a clear need. Now, they went out and drafted a wide receiver in the first round this season. That player was clearly the wrong wide receiver to draft in the first round this season. So for the Chargers, I am going to gift them a wide receiver that can manage to stay healthy for an entire season, which is something they have not had at all in the last 5 or 6 years. And lastly, for the Las Vegas Raiders, I will gift them one home game where there are more Raiders fans than visiting fans in attendance.
You're not going to give them a quarterback that completes a pass in the second, third, or fourth quarter?
No, they don't deserve that.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. I wanted to stick some coal in their stocking, but...
Okay.
How about this? I'll also gift them one other thing. A contract for their interim coach, who has looked very, very good at turning that defense from a laughing stock early in the season into a very formidable defense.
I would agree. Antonio deserves a shot at it. But they also got themselves in trouble doing that before.
That is true.
So who knows? We'll see. Let's see. I'll start with Seattle. I really wasn't sure what to give Seattle. I've always been a big fan of Tyler Lockett's. So this pains me to say this, but I'm going to give them a player that's going to step up and be their new number two wide receiver next to DK Metcalf, and it's going to be Jackson Smith and Jigba.
He's looked very, very good over the last 3 weeks. He looks like a legitimate potential number one receiver.
Yep.
Certainly someone that can step into a possession role opposite Metcalf, which I think is huge for them.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Philly West with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith in a sense. A couple slightly different skill sets there, but that's kind of what it reminds me of as a 1-2 punch.
Exactly. I think we're seeing him come on now, or where, again, going into this past draft, he was generally regarded as the consensus number one wide receiver in this past draft. And up until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he didn't really get a chance to because of the dearth at wide receiver then with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. But injuries to both of them over the last month and a half or so have led to opportunities, and he's taken advantage of those opportunities and looked very, very good.
Yep. All right. Next, you tell me, do you want me to give the LA Rams their gift or the Arizona Cardinals? Who should I give it to first?
Let's do the LA Rams.
I'm going to give the LA Rams a first round pick in the upcoming draft. Oh, wait. They have one. It's their first one in like 8 years or something like that, though. So it'll feel like a gift.
Oh, they could still trade it before the draft, you know.
Well, that is true. I'm going to give them a first round pick that they're not allowed to trade. How's that?
So that works.
That's it. So, yes, the LA Rams will be participating in this year's NFL draft in round one. And seriously, what's it been, 3 years, 4 years, something like that?
At least. I mean, yeah. Well, again, they really mortgaged their future to go out and win themselves a Super Bowl, which
they did.
Cheers for them. I mean, that's what you should do if your team is in a position. Chiefs fan, Chiefs management, why the hell didn't you go get a wide receiver this year at the deadline? Come on.
Yep. All right, Arizona. I am going to gift to them, to their head coach, a security detail for his Week 17 game in Philadelphia, because the fan base here still has not forgot that he did not get a single stop in the Super Bowl, which one stop would have won Philly another ring. So he needs a security detail. It will not be headed up by Dom, but we will give him a security detail during his trip here in Philly.
Have they built the statue for Dom yet outside the stadium?
Dom is the stadium. they probably will have there will be a statue of Dom down in South Philly somewhere.
Just put him next to Rocky.
Yeah. And then for the San Francisco 49ers, you know, last night it looked like people thought maybe it was a, you know, preview of a possible Super Bowl, both teams fighting for the one seed. And after the accumulating loss that San Francisco took last night on the chin at home in front of their fans, I want to give them what will feel like a way to feel better about themselves. So I'm going to gift them a home wild card game. Read between the lines. That means they lose the number one seed. Not much of a gift.
Interesting.
Not much of a gift, but what do you want me to say? I'm a Philly fan. All right. Let's head over to the AFC East. Let's see what you have for the AFC East, guys.
Okay. So Miami has really stepped up this season. Obviously, they've got multiple weapons at multiple positions, two great young running backs. They've got a talented young quarterback who can throw the ball a long way. They've got Jalen Waddle now, who's a little dinged up. Hopefully he'll be back for the playoffs. But they also have Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill has always been a bit of an enigmatic player, but he's also been incredibly talented. It doesn't look like he's going to get those 2,000 yards in the regular season this year because of the injury he suffered a couple weeks ago. But I want to give Tyreek Hill a present, and that's a mind adjustment so that he changes his mind about retiring at the age of 33, because he's still got so much more to give. And I would love to see that team develop over the next 5 or 6 years rather than just over the next 1 or 2 years.
I think then you don't want him to win a Super Bowl, because I think that makes it easier to stick by that plan of wanting to retire by 33.
In the case of the Buffalo Bills, I feel like the clear and obvious answer is a permanent job title for their interim offensive coordinator, who has really helped develop some weapons other than Stephon Diggs there. And again, if it's an excuse to see Diggs want to whine and cry his way out of another team, even more reason for me to see that happen for the Bills.
I'd like to see that. I'm not the only petty one here.
For the New York Jets, going into 2024, I will give them a very important gift. More than 4 plays for Aaron Rodgers.
5. I take it.
5 plays, and he's injured again. That works for me. As a Viking fan, that would be really, really sweet. For the New England Patriots, there's one thing that they really do deserve, and that is for them to offer one-day contracts to both Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski so they can retire as they should as members of the Patriots.
Okay. So you're giving the Patriots a going-away party with Tom and Rob.
And Bill, too.
There you go. Okay, fair enough. Hey, I don't think people realize, and a lot of them are probably too young to even realize, that the Patriots stunk for a very long time.
Oh, very, very long time.
They really did. They stunk for a very, very, very long time. I worked with a guy back in the early 90s that was a Patriot fan long before they became good. And he's one of the guys I always think about when I would, you know, get where I despise the fact that they always were winning and being so great, and think about, well, he was rewarded for his fan loyalty, unless he decided to move to become a Jets fan. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I have to deal with this regularly online and whatnot. People who are starting to become jaded with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It's like, well, just a few years ago, we had to sit through Matt Cassel and Tyler Thigpen as our quarterback. So
that is true.
I also, it's like, you know, sooner or later, your team will get its quarterback and you'll make a run in the playoffs. You just got to hang tight, unless you're the Vikings, because nothing good ever happens for them.
I hate to say it. I also think that Patrick's not making it any easier on himself or the team with some of the commercials he's doing. And I understand he's not the one writing them, but he could say no. The whole MVB Bundler series of commercials, I think it's making it easy for people to really not like him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. All right, let's move over to the NFC East. I found it very hard to deliver gifts to teams I despise. But in Washington, I'm not going to give them a new name. They're going to have to live with the one they have. Instead, I'm going to let them end their season on a high note. I don't care who they start at quarterback. I'm giving them a win over their rival and hated team, the Dallas Cowboys. And in turn,
interesting.
And in turn, they kind of mess up their draft position a little bit. So it's kind of a gift for Philly too. The New York Giants. Forget about it. You know what I'm giving them? I'm giving them on DVD all six seasons of The Sopranos and The Godfather trilogy, so they can see what real roughnecks and wise guys really are.
I love it.
Tommy DeVito, he ain't it. The Dallas Cowboys. You mentioned Cole earlier. I was going to give the Dallas Cowboys Cole, but I was like, that's mean. You shouldn't give anybody just Cole, right? I mean, so instead, I'm giving the Cowboys, not just the Cowboys. I'm giving all of the players, all of the coaches, and all of their fans worldwide, because they're all over the place, because the bandwagon, I guess, went all over the place back then. I'm gifting them all a VHS player so they can watch highlights from the last time that the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl.
And say back to the 90s when they had their dynasty going.
And I will say this, for those that don't know, the Cowboys' last Super Bowl appearance was closer to when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon than it is today. So yeah, have at it. As far as the Eagles go, God, I could give them so many things. I think the fan base would like me to give Brian Johnson a clue on how to call plays consistently. they probably wouldn't mind me giving Sean Desai and Matt Patricia the boot and finding some new cornerbacks. But instead, in my unbiased manner, I'm going to reach into my Santa bag and I'm going to gift them an all expenses paid trip to this year's Super Bowl with a final gift of the Lombardi Trophy. It's my gift. I'm giving it. Y'all don't have to like it, but that's the way it is.
Well, I think that that's a great gift for the season. Obviously, it certainly would make your team feel good. But for the future success of the Philadelphia Eagles going forward, if you're looking at the long-term success of the team, I feel like the gift that we should be giving them is a person to convince Roger Goodell to not ban the tush-push slash brotherly shove.
Yeah, you know, I heard, and I don't remember which announcer it was, they made a very good point. It was very short and to the point. You don't ban it just because the Eagles are good at it.
Mm-hmm.
There are other teams that suck at it. And I don't know, have you seen any injuries happen from it?
Not yet, at least nothing major. But all I've got to say is kudos to Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings, thinking that it was a good idea to attempt the tush push with a quarterback who's always been fairly mid for his career, who's had back injuries all season, and then to push him with a 165-pound slot receiver.
You know, that's a funny thing, too, because this oh, God, his name just fell out of my head. Our wide receiver, Skinny Batman, they've had him in the push position before. They've had him lined up in the tight end position before in some goal line stuff. It's hysterical to see him next to, like, Jordan Mailata. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think that they're going to ban it. I really don't. I hope they don't. And it's not just because Philly's good at it. It's, hey, the best way to stop it is don't let them get in third or fourth and short.
Well, and I would say this, again, as a person who had DeAndre Swift on several teams this season,
yeah,
I would like to gift him the ability to not fall down at the 1 yard line.
Yes.
Consistently. Maybe that's one way to get rid of the tush push, is to actually have Swift score rather than just going down at the one every single time.
He has gifted Jalen quite a few touchdowns, 1 yard touchdowns.
It's, I'm trying to think of the guy from the 90s. So I was like, that there was a guy who would always seem to get tackled at the 1 yard line. Julio Jones.
Yes.
Every single catch he made, he would always get tackled at the one. And then, of course, that was back when Michael Vick was, or was that, that was probably pre Michael, I'm sorry, post Michael Vick, but,
yeah,
it's like 1 yard touchdowns right and left for
Matt Ryan.
Who was the running back, Dad?
TJ Duckett.
Jamal Anderson.
Jamal Anderson, TJ Duckett, Michael, who's the guy that came over from the Chargers?
Oh, the really small guy, yeah.
No, he wasn't small, was he? He was a big guy.
I'm thinking of like this like small, like compact, like Leroy Horde like guy that they had for a short while.
Yeah, there was a guy I thought that came from, I could have swore he came from L.A. or San Diego at the time. I forget which one it would have been. Michael something, I think. I can't remember. I can't believe I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
He had a lot of short touchdowns, though. Absolutely. Thank you, Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. I'll remember his name after we stop recording. Anyway.
You know it.
All right. Well, at this point, we've given our gifts. Harley did not know I was ending with the Eagles. He did not know I was gifting them the Lombardi Trophy. He had a chance to try and gift the Chiefs one. Again, he did not do that. I guess he's a nice
one. I chose not to because they don't deserve it this season. But I think that, again, this team will be much recovered next season when they devote another high draft pick or a free agent signing to a quality wide receiver. And based on the intensity that Mahomes has shown on the sidelines this season regarding this lack of talent at the receiver, I don't see him not agreeing to take a little deferred payment for himself. I mean, I can't imagine them giving him a redo of his deal, something along the lines of Shohei Ohtani, where right, all of his money is deferred till after he's retired. But we might just see that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that Shohei contract, honestly. But Shohei me the money right now instead of 20 years from now. But you know what? There's a new Bobby Bonilla in town, as they say.
That's a name from the past. And unfortunately, the Mets
They're still paying it. He's still being paid, yes. It's coming.
When does that end? Do we know when that ends?
It's coming to an end shortly, but it is still being paid. I want to say, I think, 3 to 5 years.
Obviously, again, this deal, again, we don't want to get too far off on the baseball here with talk about this, but in the case of Shohei, how does this affect the ability of the Los Angeles Dodgers to potentially, if they decide in the future that the ownership wants to sell to another party? I mean, talk about a looming negative asset.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to look up Bobby Bonilla.
That's another story. Tune into the baseball podcast with us this coming spring, and we'll talk about that then, right?
2035. So he still has 12 more years. Little more than $1.19, almost $1.2 million every July 1st since 2011.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Major League Baseball, lack of a salary cap, this is what you get.
There you go. All right, let's do it. Let's head on over. We're running late. I didn't think this would happen, but it, of course it does. Let's head over to DFS. Set the over-under for us this week.
6.
Under. I almost
excellent. It's a big slate, so I was a little shocked by it, but there's a lot of, I think, clear plays this week.
Yeah, my head's not clear from too much eggnog. start us off. Who are you going to pay up for at the quarterback spot?
I'll start right up top with Jalen Hurts versus Arizona. He's 8,300 on DraftKings, 9,200 on FanDuel. Arizona's allowed the third most passing touchdowns this season, the fourth most quarterback rushing touchdowns, and Hurts has just set the record for quarterback rushing touchdowns this season, which I assure that he is going to try to add to this week.
I think he gets 2 this week. He is my pay up. Over the last weeks 13 through 16, Arizona ranks 5th in points allowed to the fantasy quarterback spot. I had Hurts as a do not play last week, told you I was worried about it. Even in what wasn't a fantastic game, that's his floor for this week. So I think there's nothing but upside. Have no problem paying those prices for him.
Stay away this week. I considered Josh Allen, but I think he's going to have a couple rushing touchdowns of his own this week. So he was not my stay away. I'm going to stay away from Tua Tagovailoa at Baltimore, 7,400 on DraftKings, 7,600 on FanDuel. Tua will likely be without Jalen Waddle this week. He's going to be on the road against a team that's allowed the fewest passing touchdowns this season in Baltimore. And again, Baltimore just made supposed MVP Brock Purdy look pretty bad.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that this is going to be one of those bad games from Tua.
I get it. And he's not my stay away. I'll go back to that, but I can see this game being like 17-10 or 42-38 like a few years ago. I probably will just avoid
it. I think a lot of people thought that was going to happen with the San Francisco game last night, though, too.
Yeah, that's true. My stay away is Josh Allen. The numbers don't support it as much. New England, they're middle of the pack over the last that four-week span that I mentioned earlier. But New England always seems to play Allen tough. So I don't feel great about it. There's some better plays that are cheaper. And if you want to pay up, I just see Hurts being a better value for only a few $100 more on FanDuel and only $100 more on DraftKings. So I'll stay away from Allen and make sure I don't use him.
Exactly.
Who's going to be your value play?
I think we might mass on this one here. I'm going to go with the guy who's been kind of maligned recently. That's Derek Carr at Tampa Bay. He's 5,500 on DraftKings, 7,000 on FanDuel. Those prices are absolutely absurdly wrong for Derek Carr right now. Tampa's allowed the most passing yards this season. And Carr, as maligned as he's been for his play of recent, he has thrown for 3 touchdowns in each of the last 2 weeks. So, again, you give him if you give him 3 touchdowns, that's 3x value. That's beyond 3x value on DraftKings right there. Then you throw any additional points for the yardage. I think he's the clear lock. He's probably going to be a bit of chalk this week, so maybe you don't want to play him for that given reason, but again,
so
it's an easy play.
I was going to say, you've got 2 chances to match me. We match. Carr is one of the ones I had. And weeks 13 through 16, yeah, he's facing a Tampa Bay team that's actually given up the 11th most points to the quarterback position. It's a good matchup in that I also think that there'll be plenty of garbage time stuff at the end of the game for him, quite honestly. But if you are worried that he's going to be too chalky, the play is at home. You ready for this? Tyrod Taylor against a Rams team that over that week's 13 through 16 time frame has given up more points to the fantasy quarterback position than any other team in the league. It is not
now,
for the faint of heart.
We know for certain that Tyrod is going to start yet.
We do not. And that's okay. That's why I only had him down as here's a second option. I also would not start him on FanDuel because he's only $300 cheaper than Carr. But he is $4,600 on DraftKings. So if he does get the nod that he's going to go and you really want to be anti-everything, everybody else is pouring into their Carr, give Tyrod a run. There definitely should be some garbage time. That's for sure.
I agree.
Okay. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, as Meatloaf said, I think.
Maybe we can talk all night, but let's roll into the running back position.
There you go. Who are you paying up for?
I can't not pay up for Christian McCaffrey, despite the price. that Washington 9,600 on DraftKings, 11,000 on FanDuel. That price is borderline absurd.
Yep.
But Washington has allowed 142 combo yards per game and the most total running back scores over the last 4 weeks.
Yes, and they're just – here's the only thing I see that's wrong with this, and I went with CMC also. It looks like a trap at $11,000, right? They're trying.
I think the Arizona game was going to be a trap, and
right.
It wasn't. He still.
Yeah, it's just I think that we see McCaffrey solidify the MVP this week, actually.
As it should be.
Okay. Who are you going to stay away from?
You know, for me, this was a pretty easy call. It's Alvin Kamara at Tampa Bay. He's 7,500 on both sites. Only four teams have allowed fewer total touchdowns to opposing running backs this season. And Kamara, he's only scored in four games this season. So I know he did miss the first couple of weeks. And looking back at his numbers, though, he's getting by and looking reasonable by catching four or five passes a game and combining to have like 75 to 80 yards. But again, I figured this out. It's like he's averaging – since his return, just right around 15 PPR points per game. His price tag is 7,500 on DraftKings. That means that if he does his average on DraftKings at full PPR, he's only hitting two times value and just barely.
Right. I don't hate it. It's not who I wrote down. I went with a guy that's in a timeshare of sorts. And here's the thing. He's playing a team that when you look at week 13 through 16 – those numbers aren't going to tell the story if you were to add weeks. I'm sorry. Yeah, week 13, 16, we're in the 17, going 18, whatever it is. Week 16 is not included in this. So it's 13, 12, 13, 14, 15. It's Raheem Mostert. I don't like the game against Baltimore in Baltimore. If anything happens, I think it's going to be through the air, not on the ground. Yeah, and if you look at what Christian McCaffrey did last night, you're going to be like, well, why wouldn't I want to play Raheem Mostert? You know, McCaffrey doesn't have to worry about another guy stealing touches from him basically either. So I don't love the matchup. The price is a little more suppressed than Kamara. Probably should have said Kamara, but Mostert's actually more money on FanDuel too.
No, and the price isn't that great for Mostert here. And again, if you look back at Mostert's performance this week, his game was kind of saved by the touchdown.
Absolutely. 100%.
And that's kind of what you're looking at this week, too. I mean,
yep.
You're hoping that he gets in the end zone once or twice.
Because he has to.
That's really the only way he's going to achieve close to 2.5 times value, let alone try to hit 3 times value on either side.
He absolutely has to. The other guy that I wrote down I didn't wind up going with because I don't think it would be hard to tell people not to play him was Saquon Barkley. As good as the Rams have been for a passing matchup, they've not been good for the running matchups. So that one's where... you know, stay away from Saquon if you can.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to match on our value play, actually.
Well, so I'm going to give you two names to match with me on my value play. And the reason why is because both players are potential value plays based on other potential injuries in those two lineups for them.
One of mine is kind of like that, too.
My first suggestion would be Zamir White at Indianapolis, 5,700 on DraftKings, 6,400 on FanDuel. Over the last 4 weeks, Indianapolis has allowed a league-worst 781 total yards and 5 total touchdowns to opposing running backs. That's just under 200 total yards per game to opposing running backs. There's a chance Jacobs comes back this week, but if he doesn't, White will feast. And you know what? Even if Jacobs comes back, there's a good chance he'll be limited. And Zamir might get enough backup numbers to make him value-wise, at least on DraftKings, where he's only 5,700. Now, the alternate choice there for me is if Jacobs is back and you don't want to take that timeshare, you can go ahead and roster Clyde Edwards-Alaire versus Cincinnati. He's 5,300 on DraftKings, 6,500 on FanDuel. Jerick McKinnon is currently on the IR. Isaiah Pacheco is in the concussion protocol. I'm guessing he's probably not going to play this week. That means the entire backfield for the Chiefs is going to be CEH next week.
Okay. So we match. I had Zamir White written down also. He's 5,100, by the way, on DraftKings, not 5,700.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Easy mistake to make. And again, it's all you know, depending upon if Josh Jacobs is back or not. I'm assuming that he's not going to be. If he is, I'm climbing the ranks because I had two guys written down also. And I'm actually going way up high, not way up high, but much higher for a value play that I usually do. And it's DeAndre Swift this week. His price just screams value to me in a game where I do think Philly's going to want to impart their will on Arizona and really try to go in the final week of the season and the playoffs on a roll, because what they did in against New York this past week really didn't inspire the fan base very much.
Well, the names to consider, too, as you put your lineups together in terms of the value situation, I think you really have to look at Chuba Hubbard against a Jacksonville team that really has just stopped playing defense over the last month. And also Denver at home versus the Chargers. Chargers have been bad against the run all season. Javonte Williams is certainly in play at 5,600 and 6,500.
Yep, I did look at Javonte Williams also myself. He was somebody I almost wrote down over Zamir. And then if I was going to not go to DeAndre Swift at a higher price, that's who I would have said. Okay. So
how are we doing for matches?
Oh, we're four. We're on pace for eight, basically. So, but wide receiver can always get a little tricky. So let's see what happens when we head over here to wide receiver. I had a little trouble with wide receiver. Who are you paying up for at wide receiver?
As did I, actually. A.J. Brown's got a good matchup. He's been kind of hit or miss of recent, so I didn't think about him.
Yep.
Choosing which Ram receiver is going to eat against the Giants is a little bit shaky, too. I think that Puka playing more on the outside probably is the better play of the two. But again, you never can tell for certain. So I took the guy who I felt was the surest among the higher priced guys. And he's actually the second highest priced guy on FanDuel, but he falls all the way down to the eighth highest priced guy on DraftKings, and that's Deebo Samuel at Washington. Now, when you look at Washington, they've allowed the second most yards and the second most touchdowns to opposing wide receivers. And Deebo, despite having a bit of a down week last week where Purdy was kind of dinged up, he scored seven times in his last four games, including multiple touchdowns on the ground.
So I wrote two names down. I crossed the first one out. I got to the second one, crossed him out, went back to the first one. The first name I wrote down was, I'm not going to tell you that yet. The second name I wrote down was Tyreek Hill. Again, I kind of feel like no Jalen Waddle. I know he's battling that injury. I know this could be a low-scoring game. I want to say pay up for Tyreek in what should be a huge game, right? Mm-hmm. But I just can't. So I just can't, not when I see another good play where you could save some money. So I went back to the guy I wrote down first, and that was actually Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I think when you look at Baltimore, I believe I read that they've given up 10 wide receiver touchdowns all season, which is second only behind the New York Jets. And New York Jets have allowed four wide receiver touchdowns all season. That's incredibly to think about. So, again, obviously don't play any wide receiver against the Jets right now. But, yeah, Tyreek Hill has got a scary matchup. But the last time that they were without Jalen Waddle, he did get peppered for like 15 targets. So I don't mind paying up for Tyreek Hill here, but much like you said, the price difference – at least on DraftKings between Deebo and Tyreek is $1,600. So much easier to get a solid wide receiver two on your lineup if you take Deebo rather than Tyreek there. FanDuel, their prices are only 1,000 apart, so it's not quite as big of a difference.
Damn over is going to hit today, isn't it? Vegas is going to win. All right, who are you staying away from?
Stay away from Stephon Diggs at Buffalo. He's still parked himself at 8,200 on DraftKings and 7,600 on FanDuel. Apparently, neither site has been paying attention to what's happened since they made the offensive coordinator change in Buffalo. He hasn't reached 100 yards in any of his last nine games. He's also scored in only three games over that stretch. Plus, over their last six games, the Patriots have only allowed four wide receivers to score, and only one of those four touchdowns went to a wide receiver one.
So we match. That's five. I wrote Diggs down first. I moved on, and I actually went to A.J. Brown because it is not a good matchup on paper for A.J. Brown, and you add in how inconsistent he's been, right? But I wound up back on Diggs, and I'm stacking my stayaways. I'm staying away from Josh Allen.
Diggs price not gone down. I mean,
yeah.
Typically these sites re-rate people based on 3 weeks worth of performances in a row. Diggs has done nothing over the last 3 weeks.
No, he hasn't done anything really over the last six. So he's the stay away. So we match there too. I doubt that we'll match on our value play, but I have two names. I crossed one out, but I'll give you a chance on two.
Okay, well, so based on his relative price, if I don't use Deebo Samuel at wide receiver one, I might go a ways down the list to choose my wide receiver one and stack that player with my cheap quarterback in Derek Carr. I'm considering Chris Olave a bit of a value, but his price tag is still $6,800 on DraftKings and $7,400 on FanDuel, which is a little too high for me to consider a value play. Yeah. But again, consider him as a nice pivot at wide receiver one if you want to go a little cheaper there. But I'm going to go ahead and stay in that same game and take the number two receiver for the Saints back in just his – this will be his third game back from his injury, and that's Rashid Shaheed, who I think is going to be up for a good output here. He's only $4,600 on DraftKings, $6,200 on FanDuel. Over the last 4 weeks, Tampa has allowed the second most wide receiver receptions and the fourth most wide receiver receiving yards. Meanwhile, Shaheed got back into the end zone last week while racking up the second most targets on the team behind Olave.
Yeah, my best ball team for flex, Fantasy League of Experts, sure could use some Shaheed points. So I don't dislike that play at all. For me, the first name I wrote down was Noah Brown, cheaper than Nico Collins. Hopefully this means that we're getting back the rookie at quarterback. That was part of why. But then I was like, since we're not 100% sure, that's why I decided to move away from him. Brown had second most targets on the team, I think it was, this past week. Instead, I really didn't like many of the lower price plays, but I found one that I said, he's cheap enough, I'll throw it his way. A guy that a lot of people tried to use to rationalize for why it was okay to trade away a stud, and it was okay that we got rid of A.J. Brown because we got Treylon Burks. I'm going to make Burks my value play this week, and I don't like it. That's all there is to it. I don't like it. The matchup says it's not bad on paper. Last three games, teams he's facing, they're giving up the 11th most points to the fantasy wide receiver position. Yeah, I'd rather just move on.
Well, again, if you're looking for other guys in kind of that same range, consider Drake London against a Chicago team that is impossible to run against but is still beatable through the air. DeMarcus Robinson has basically – everyone thought Tutu Atwell was going to have a big game this past week now that he was back. He did nothing. DeMarcus Robinson still was heavily involved in the offense. And again, he plays one of those outside wide receiver roles for the Rams, which is where the Giants are particularly amenable to opposing wide receivers. And a guy who's kind of fallen out of the radar a little bit in what could be a tough matchup, I really like DeMario Douglas on the road in Buffalo because someone's got to catch the passes from New England, and he has been kind of their featured player when they've really had nothing else all season.
The other guy I looked at and really like him better on DraftKings than FanDuel, but I just can't. Deontay Johnson at $5,000. I mean, that's crazy. He's kind of priced.
I think we saw last week, though, that George Pickens was the player of choice for Mason Rudolph.
He was, and I think everybody's going to be on Pickens again. So I think that the pivot play, if you're going to try and find somebody cheap, right, so they can get some of these other players in, it would be that play. Because I don't think he's going to have high ownership because everybody's going to be on Pickens.
I think in those same belts, you can also kind of look at guys like Cedric Wilson, who will probably see a uptick in touches with Jalen Waddle likely to miss the game again. We talked a little bit about how this game could be high scoring, could be low scoring. We don't really know yet. And obviously the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes has become comfortable with Rashee Rice. He's also become fairly comfortable with Justin Watson. Watson's price is obviously, it's nearly half of Rice's price on DraftKings. I think if you want to get some exposure to the Chiefs against a very bad Cincinnati defense, go ahead and use Watson as your wide receiver three at a very cheap price.
There you go. All right. We've got five matches going to tight end. Tight end's usually one where we at least get one or two matches because it's just such a thinner pool. So we're probably going to hit the over. But let's start there. Who are you paying up for at the tight end position?
You know, I've been fading him for the last couple of weeks. But I must go back this week to Travis Kelce. He is the highest priced guy, but his price is not as high over the secondary players as it's been in previous weeks. It's only 7,000 on DraftKings, 7,800 on FanDuel.
Yep.
Again, that's only 800 more than the second priced tight end on FanDuel, and only 1,100 more than the second highest priced guy on DraftKings. Usually it's like closer to $2,000 difference. The Bengals allowed the most receptions and the most total yards to the tight end position this season. And even though Kelce's been a bit of a dud, he still ranks top three in receptions, yardage, and targets for the season.
Yeah, we match. It's the price is much more digestible.
Tenable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's a good matchup. So at some point, you got to hope that, you know what, it's championship week. Maybe Pat and Kelce can win at least some fantasy fans some money and some championships while they work towards trying to get one of their own again. So, yeah, we got a match there. Who are you staying away from?
This one seemed pretty obvious to me. I actually like a lot of the higher-priced guys this week.
Yeah.
There's one that kind of stood out to me as being just he didn't belong in the top five for me, and that's Dalton Kincaid at 4,900 on DraftKings. It's a little cheaper on FanDuel at 5,600, but Kincaid has not done much recently. He's been held out of the end zone in five straight games. He only has one catch over the last 2 weeks. And New England for the season has allowed the second fewest yards to the position and the second fewest touchdowns to the position.
So I don't hate that as a stay away. I looked at him. I thought the same thing. I saw everything along the lines you did, basically. But his price just made me feel like I don't have to say he's a stay away. I went and I stayed in the top three. On paper, Trey McBride's matchup does not look like a good matchup. But before last night's win, the starting linebackers for Philly, none of them had played on a team for Philly that had won a game. They're all brand new. Nicholas Morrow was out. Zach Cunningham was out. You had Shaquille Leonard was there and some other guys that they signed off the streets, basically, is what it sounded like. So I think there's opportunity for McBride. So he's not who I'm staying away from. I don't like Evan Engram. Now, granted, he's at home, but, man, Carolina plays such ugly games that there's not a lot there to go around. And on paper, it's not the best matchup. He's $7,000. I mean, he's only $800 cheaper than Kelce on FanDuel. So I'm going to stay away from Evan Engram this week.
I don't mind Engram on DraftKings, where, like you said, the difference in prices. Ingram's $5,700 there versus $7,000 on FanDuel. I definitely would not pay $7,000 for him there. But a couple pieces of advice here. Both Engram and McBride, for as high prices as they are right now, and neither's match is great, both of them continue to be targeted like crazy due to injuries to every other legitimate receiver on those rosters.
True.
Last week, obviously, Marquise Brown didn't play for the Cardinals, and I think McBride had like 13 or 14 targets. And Engram got 15 targets with injuries to Zay Jones and Christian Kirk. So they both are still being involved in the offense, but I agree the matchup isn't great for either of them. I'd probably avoid them on FanDuel, but again, their price on DraftKings is a little bit cheaper. Never mind. Just go ahead and start Travis Kelce. He's got a great matchup.
Exactly. All right. It has to come down to the value play at tight end for the over to hit versus a push.
I know Vegas is always willing to take a push. So,
yep.
There's one matchup that I – actually, there are two matchups I considered here. So, we'll give Vegas two chances to hit the over.
Okay.
Gerald Everett gets a matchup against the Denver secondary that is one of the two worst against the tight end position this season. I like him at $3,500 on DraftKings. I don't love the $5,300 price, but again, it's another situation where – they just don't have a lot of other weapons that they can throw to because of all the injuries in their offense. But just a couple spots below him might be the even better play, and that's Juwan Johnson at $3,400 on DraftKings, $5,200 on FanDuel. I don't mind that $5,200 on FanDuel. Normally I'll stay away from lower-priced tight ends on FanDuel just because those $5,000 guys are $5,000 guys. But six of the last nine teams to face Tampa have watched their tight end go berserker. And Johnson, well, he scored in two straight games, so I could see him getting in the end zone. He gets in the end zone. He's already got 3X value on DraftKings. And, again, I don't mind the $5,200 price on FanDuel just because Again, it's a $2,600 savings. This guy you might be able to stick in as your flex if you go with a double tight end lineup.
Well, Vegas is not going to hit the over. I really thought when you said you were going a few more down, I really thought that that was going to do it for us. So let's look at some totals here real quick. Let's see.
Well, I know where you're going now. Okay.
You do? You know where I'm going?
I think I do.
Let's see. So we gave up almost 10 points to a tight end this past week. Almost 10 points to a tight end the week before that. Not so great production there. No, not so great production there. Yeah. Wait a minute. Nope. Didn't go over 10 points there. Got to go all the way back to week 10 to find a 10-point tight end here. That's it. So, okay, the lesson is I don't have a value tight end because I wanted to make a point. If you look at the New York Giants, okay, It shows that – let me get my numbers back up here. Hold on a second. It shows that from weeks 13 to 16, average tight end – let's see. Let's go here. Yep. The New York Giants have given up more points to the tight end position than anybody else in the NFL since week 13. Except you got to go all the way back to week 10 to find when they gave more than 10 points, double digits up to a tight end. So – the numbers don't always tell the story. And if you look at the numbers, it looks like Tyler Higbee should be the play. He's not.
You can see that. I mean, again, I actually considered him as a possibility. Again, yeah, like you said, looking at the last 4 weeks for New England, for New York, and scrolling down to their team right now, and the New York Football Giants are not showing up on my list for some reason. Why is that?
I don't know.
Oh, here they are. They've only given up 220 yards to the position and only two tight end touchdowns over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem like that much when you compare to the fact that there are 12 teams that have given up more yardage. And 6 teams have given up more touchdowns to the position over that span.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at their season as a whole, Jake Ferguson, 10-plus points in week one. Trey McBride, 10 and change week two. George Kittle, 13 and change in week three. Then you don't have anybody go over 10 points in week four, in week five, in week six, in week seven, in week eight, in week nine. Oh, week 10, Jake Ferguson, 10 and change again. Then there's nothing in week 11 and none in 12 and none in 14 and none in 15 and none in 16 because Dallas Goedert came up just short at 9.93. So the numbers don't always sit there and tell you if you want to go back to the week 15 matchup, they gave up 21 points to the tight end position. 8 and change, 3 and change, 3 and change, 6 and change. That's how it happens. So there's more to it sometimes. You got to dig a little deeper. So that was a lesson I was trying to teach there. I don't have one. I'm not going to take the match on anything. The push does the same thing as one over would have done. We lose. Vegas wins. And that's the way it is.
Yeah, I really thought you were going to go with Kate Otten in that same game.
Not again.
Another guy, actually, I would say maybe to consider in that cheaper range this week. Actually, there's a couple guys that I'll recommend to people. If you want to save some money, I really like what we saw last week from Lucas Kroll in Denver. The team, as Ray said, they're committed to getting him more involved in the offense, particularly until we get to the point where they're able to return Greg Dulcich to the field, which is not going to be this week. Mike Gesicki, if Hunter Henry is out again this week, could be a sneaky little play there. And the guy who I really kind of like this week is Durham Smythe, who had a big game last week, his biggest game of the season, 5 catches, 56 yards on 5 targets. With the injury to Jalen Waddle, basically he became the safety valve rather than, again, some targets went to Cedric Wilson. I think some targets will probably go to Braxton Berrios this week too. But I feel that Smythe is going to be the number two option in that passing game this week.
Understood. Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Our belated Christmas gifts for all teams in the NFL, compliments of me and Harley, as well as some DFS plays to hopefully help you make some coin going into the new year, 2024. God, that's just so hard and weird to say. If you have any questions leading up to your championship games or just in general, reach out to Harley at Nuclear Harley on the site formerly known as Twitter. You can reach out to me at Steve Gallo NFL. If you haven't done so, use some of that Christmas money and cash that you got and buy yourself a membership to the Huddle. And listen, if ever there's a week that this is the most important time to say this, look, Sunday is New Year's Eve, and we want you guys all to be able to be here and listen to our final episode. So make sure you do one thing for us. Get Blitz responsibly. Cheers.